Hello, I'm Mike King, and you're listening to an extended clip from episode 25 of the Freight Buyers Club. In this segment, I'm talking to Glyn Hughes, Director General of TIACA, Cathy Liu, Vice President, Global Sales and Marketing at Demerco Express Group, and Peyton Burnett, MD of TAC Index. We're discussing the age-old failing of air cargo. Why is it so frequently so slow? And we have some ideas about how to improve things. Big thanks to the Demerco Express Group for supporting independent journalism. Enjoy. These emerging air freight markets, I've been going to air cargo conferences for a couple of decades. You've got TIACA's air cargo forum actually takes place just after the elections, which are on the 5th of November. Your air cargo forum is in Miami, 11th to the 14th of November. When I go to these conferences, we always talk about the slowness. It sounds ridiculous, but especially if you're not in air freight, it sounds ridiculous, but the slowness of air cargo supply chains, the end-to-end process takes way longer than the flight, essentially, if I'm simplifying. That's when China's made all these investments in making sure its end of that supply chain has been super efficient. As we've just heard there, emerging markets don't have that investment. How does that affect that conversation, Glyn?
I mean, it's a fascinating topic because, you know, and forgive me for saying this, but an IATA study, I think it was about 45, 50 years ago, so even before I joined the industry, said that cargo took on average 6.25 days to move from not airport to airport, but from, as it were, consignor to consignee. And then 20 years later, that had come down to like 5.9. But the planes fly as fast as they can fly, utilization, optimization, things of that nature. So it really comes down to what happens on the ground and what happens at the border. And as you've already mentioned at the beginning or earlier about the complexity of security filings and pre-clearance, et cetera, but there are some really wonderful examples. I mean, if you look at the perishables market, if you look at the flowers that come out of Kenya that fly into the European airports, they're pre-cleared and they're almost off the airport. The first flowers that are offloaded are almost off the airport before the rest of the plane is fully offloaded. So this industry can do it, but it requires all entities, because if a customs officer somewhere says, I know I've got all the information digitally, but I want to see a piece of paper with a signature, you know, that can hold up things 24, 36, 48 hours. Even the early part of if somebody's got a particularly large shipment and forwarded trying to get rates from carriers, that can actually lose a day in just trying to procure the actual, you know, rate and then with the space. So we need to digitalize much more the interactive process up front. You know, it's the same as when if you look on the passenger side, and I always used to threaten my kids that we would go on holiday like a piece of cargo. And they said, oh, how's that, Daddy? And I says, well, it takes us 6 days to go from the house to the hotel. We stay one day there, then it's 6 days to come home again. You know, it's just inconceivable. As passengers, we like to go online, book our ticket. We're in control of the procedure at the airport. We know what we need to do to comply. We prepare ourselves in advance. And then we get on, we get off, and we move through. So we can do a lot more on cargo, but I have to say the innovation that we've seen post-COVID from the technology sector is tremendous. I think we've probably moved forward 10 years. Now we just need the entire community to embrace and interact with each other to a much higher degree. But I'm confident that we're going to overcome that challenge, particularly as e-commerce customers. And I had this discussion, sorry for going a slight different direction here. People were saying the other day, e-commerce customers are getting, as it were, unrealistically demanding for faster. And my position is actually the opposite. E-commerce is replacing physical commerce. Physical commerce, the emotional side of physical commerce is I would go into a store, I would pay for something and take ownership 15 seconds later when I leave the store. That's what we're trying to compare to. So when we tell people, oh, you're going to have to wait 3 days, 4 days for us, so they're not being unrealistic to want quicker. They're actually saying, but I used to get it in 15 seconds. Now, we're obviously never going to be able to compete with that. But the emotional side means we have to understand that e-commerce is about the purchase and ownership transaction. That's the biggest difference, has occurred before transport in most cases. Old days, we were moving 10-ton consignments into retail outlets. If it got there in 5 days, 8 days, 10 days, doesn't matter. As long as it was in the store when somebody came in to buy it. So it was a different procurement process.
What I heard in the market, I think a big stick helps. So I heard with these e-commerce guys have very tough contractual obligations that they require from the carrier. So, you know, if you're 24 hours late or 48 hours late or a bit longer, then they're really large penalty clauses to take effect. I think that helps focuses people's minds when you suddenly get it was some, I'm not sure, I've been out of this charter market for a while, but I heard stuff that if you're on time, fine. If you're a day late, you have to pay like 50%, then it's 100%, and then it's 200% of the charter price. I mean, it's really tough. And so some of these guys have quite a lot of fear actually taking on these contracts, especially if you're using maybe a carrier that's not so reliable, can get a bit hairy. But that's what I've heard in the market. And I think that, again, that's helped make cargo move quicker. And they're the guys controlling the business.
Kathy, you buy space. What would help your business? What would help you provide air cargo solutions faster? What could some of your suppliers provide to you to help you do that?
I think for us, we are actually just like this peak season, we block the charter. So we have the charter service on a weekly basis from Shanghai to Chicago because of the peak season demand. So I think this kind of arrangement can help our customer to move faster. And also another fact is that just like Peter mentioned, that actually e-commerce customers, they require very high penalty if you delay. They have agreed transit time. If you delay one day, then there's deduct 5% of the freight charge, and then it will accumulate. So that's why a lot of those freight forwarders, if they are dealing with e-commerce, the e-commerce always will be at the priority list to get the capacity, especially during the peak season. But for us, what we are doing here, that we are not really handle e-commerce customers. So for all those, let's say, normal customers, because we are more focused for the electronic and the semiconductors, they can get 100% support from the from us about their capacity during the peak season, because we don't have the burden to deal with e-commerce with to afford those penalties. Yeah, so I think that's something different from our side to secure the capacity for our customers during the peak season to moving faster.